Welcome to the podcast, Your Time with James Sweetman. Hello and welcome to this week's episode. It's a milestone week. We're at episode 20, so 20 weeks into the podcast. And I want to say thank you to everyone for your support and reviews and comments. I've been receiving some terrific feedback and that encourages me to keep going. I wanted to choose a topic that I think most of us can relate to mark the 20th episode. So this week it's all about ways to detach from stressful situations, or as I sometimes phrase it, you know, we take things too personally. How can we overcome that? A few weeks ago, I think it was episode 13, the episode was about dealing with a difficult coworker. And when I'm delivering workshops on leadership or communication skills, I often get that question, you know, how can I deal with someone who's difficult at work? Hence the reason for that episode. But that question is usually followed, or a different variation of that question is, I tend to take things personally, you know, my big softy, how can I detach? And that's the motivation for putting this week's episode together, because I think most of us, if we're honest, do tend to take things personally. I remember many years ago when I worked in financial services, there was a lady, a colleague that I worked with, very good at her job. She worked in marketing and project management. But she certainly took things personally, as most of us do when we care about what it is we do. But I remember her saying to me that she'd had a meeting with the director or senior manager, and the feedback they gave her was, Victoria was her name, said, Victoria, you take things too personally, don't care as much. And she related that to me at the time, thinking it was a bit strange. And I remember thinking it was a bit strange myself and thinking, well, you know, sure, you care. It's important to care. The opposite of that would be complacency, and we don't want that. But in subsequent years, it's funny because that account stuck with me, because maybe we do have a tendency of caring too much. And it might sound a little bit odd because, you know, focus, intention, doing your best, all of that is in the mix here. But I know for me, when I say to clients in different areas, you know, too much of anything is a weakness. Too much confidence could be arrogance. You know, too much determination could be blinkered, let's say. And maybe the same thing applies to caring. You know, maybe there are scenarios where we care too much, and how could we just care a little less? But that's just a quick aside. Today's episode is really about sharing 7 tips that I have for you to detach in stressful scenarios. I often think that if we're someone who does take things personally and who struggles to detach, you know, we tend to be someone who has good levels of rapport and empathy. You know, our social connectors are open. We're able to put ourselves in other people's shoes. There's many, many pluses to that. It usually means we're a good communicator because we can adapt our communication style for maximum impact. You know, we can read the mood in a room. We're able to identify with where someone else is coming from. It's the foundation of good relationships. But I think if, you know, our social connectors are open, it's a bit like the floodgates. You know, they're also open for stuff coming back the other way. And that's where we can have a tendency to take other people's stuff on board. And then, of course, you've some individuals, you know, and as the phrase goes, they know just what buttons to press. But of course, ultimately, there are buttons, and we need to determine if we will allow them to be pressed or not. So this week's episode is about giving you some new insights and maybe some strategies to apply when you know you have a tendency to take things too personally. And as I say, to have a few ways that help us detach from stressful scenarios, or sometimes stressful people too. So the first tip for detaching, or to move away from taking things too personally, is the age-old wisdom of breathing more purposefully. You know, if we're to say to anyone, you know, or give them a piece of advice to calm down, we'd say take a deep breath. You know, if we're in a scenario where we're a little bit stressed ourselves, we'll be breathing high and fast. often instinctively we'll say, oh, well, I need to go and clear my head or go for a walk around the block. We'll do something to change a breathing pattern. Even, of course, if that's just a deep sigh, you know, the way we sigh when we're frustrated, that's still a request to change a breathing pattern. It's like the wisdom from our grandparents, you know, if something's annoying you or upsetting you, take a deep breath and count to 10. You know, there's always wisdom contained in those old adages or cliches. I often find that more conscious, deeper breathing, you know, it'll relax you, but it oxygenates the blood and it usually resources us that we're able to see the scenario in perhaps a clearer way. I always say that purposeful breathing brings our attention into the present moment. You know, out of a busy mind that's regurgitating memories from the past, you know, the way we'll go and he said this and last week he did that, you know, we'll bring all of that into play. Or we'll also be imagining worst case scenarios in the future, which, of course, is what worry is. Oftentimes as well, when we're not in the present moment, we're then attempting to go inside other people's heads and think about what they might be thinking about you, you know, which, of course, is negative judgment. Breathing brings us back into our bodies and in particular back into our hearts. You know, we'll feel a little bit more grounded with it. You know, breathing is central to mindfulness and yoga and Pilates and martial arts and all of that. And we can just do a little bit of it. I'm a big fan of a two-staged in-breath. It's something that I often go through with my clients who are just looking to either resource themselves or to feel more relaxed. The two-staged in-breath is you take a deep breath, you take a breath in through your nose, and then you take a second breath in through your nose, which is something that we don't normally do. And the second one fills the lower part of your lungs. And I often associate that second inhale with, you know, I'm doing something purposeful here. It's me taking control back. Our body has the wisdom to change our breathing patterns, as I say. You know, we'll sigh when we're frustrated, yawn when we're tired. Before we're embarking on a task that scares us, we'll often take a deep breath as well. But there's other times when we can breathe more purposefully to take greater control of our state. And I often find that is route one here. You know, if I'm looking to detach from a scenario, I'm looking to lower and slow down my breathing. Because if something's annoying me or stressing me, I'm going to be breathing high and fast. So that little two-stage in-breath is the first tip I'm sharing. The second tip is about asking ourselves a better question, a question that's aligned with what it is we want, not what it is we don't want, and to focus on something that's within our control. So let me expand on that one a little. You know, we're often in the habit of asking questions when we're stressed that begin with the word why. You know, why are they doing this? Why is this happening? You know, why am I responding this way? Why? Now, why, when it's used in a certain way, can get to a deeper motivation. You know, it's the old Simon Sinek bit of asking why to get to the purpose. But most of the time when we're using the word why, particularly in a stressful scenario, all we're doing is stoking guilt and defensiveness. You know, it's the same thing if you say it to a teenage child or a relative. It's like, well, why didn't you clean your room? You know, their response is going to be one of either guilt or defensiveness. It doesn't really get us anywhere. And doubly so when we're in a scenario where there's a high possibility that the other person is not behaving or acting logically, i.e. they're acting through the filters of their emotions, or as Eckhart Tolle would say, you know, they're acting in their pain body. And in those scenarios where we're trying to figure out other people's behavior, we'll never be able to do it. We'll never be able to understand it because their behavior or attitude may not be rational. So if we're looking at taking some control back ourselves, which is one of the things that's at the heart of detaching or not taking things too personally, one of the really powerful things we can do is to change some of the questions we're habitually asking ourselves. So rather than the why stuff, maybe something like, well, how can I respond more usefully here? You know, what do I want in this situation? Because as I say, most of the time we're focused on what it is we don't want. And of course, the brain cannot process negatives. So if you're saying, you know, I don't want to, you know, don't think of a yellow door with pink spots, up it pops. So we want to focus on what it is we do want. So what do I want in this scenario? What is within my control? Or maybe even a who question, you know, who do I want to be in this situation, which allows me to bring some qualities or characteristics characteristics, some aspects of my personality to the fore. There are other questions that can be equally beneficial. You know, things like, well, what are the positive aspects to this issue or this situation? What could be good about this situation? What can I learn from this? We can always fall back to that one. What can I learn? I'm a strong believer that there are learning opportunities, little gifts of wisdom in every situation. And I often find that those situations that challenge us or those people that challenge us, there's usually something for us to learn about ourselves in there, whether it's a reminder to us to take back empowerment or to establish clearer boundaries or sometimes to be more flexible. You know, if we're seeking new answers or new solutions to issues that are ongoing, it usually means asking a better question. You know, the brain is a question and answer mechanism. So if we ask a better question or a different question, the brain will be harnessed and it will maybe give us a different answer. It's like opening a door to a different room of possibility. So that's the second tip. Let me just give a little bit more consideration to the questions that I'm running in my brain, and maybe a different question would be helpful. Tip number three brings us into the area of expectations and reality. This is an equation I often do with clients and at workshops, because many challenging scenarios, most challenging scenarios, can at the highest level be brought back to an imbalance between expectations and reality. So let me speak about that a little more. You know, we will always have expectations as to how things could be or should be, how we want a situation to be, how we want someone to treat us, how we want to be managed, you know, what sort of customer service we expect. When the reality that we're experiencing is better than our expectations, well, then we're happy bunnies. It's a bit like, you know, dropping the clues for a birthday gift. You know, you have a certain expectation of getting a birthday gift. If the reality of that gift is better than your expectation, you're over the moon. Of course, if the reality is less than your expectation, well, then we will experience a negative emotion, whether that's stress, frustration, disappointment if it's the birthday present. But we can only ever deal with reality. You know, most of us run the pattern that we want other people to change their behavior or attitude so we can feel better. But we don't have control over other people. People do what people do, and then we get to choose how we respond to that. But in the scenario that you're finding stressful or that you would like to detach from or that you've been maybe dealing with it too personally or it's been hitting home too much, a great question to contemplate is, well, what is true about this situation? Because we can only work with what is happening now, not the baggage we bring into it, not the worries that we have around it. Stress begins to occur when we start to argue with reality. I'm a great fan of the work of Byron Katie, and she has that great phrase, you know, if you argue with reality, you will lose. So we can wish that other people maybe behave towards us in a different scenario. We may wish that a certain situation is not what it is, but we can only move forward when we acknowledge what the reality of the scenario is. And sometimes the root of the issue is that our expectations are not grounded in reality. And of course, oftentimes what we'll do when we experience disappointment or reality is less than what our expectations are, we will downgrade expectations. And that's not necessarily what I'm talking about here, because the downgrading of expectations usually is the birth of cynicism. All we're doing is to look at reality and to accept it for what it is, and then resource ourselves to move forward from it rather than from a place of wishful thinking or hoping that someone else will change their behavior, which is not within our control. The next tip, number four, is about acknowledging and appreciating. So instead of judging ourselves or maybe even judging others, let me just acknowledge what's going on. We don't want to beat ourselves up here. You know, saying to ourselves something like, well, you know, why am I taking this personally? Why am I getting upset? Oh, I'm too sensitive. I should toughen up, etc., etc. You know, it's not helping us in this scenario. So let me just acknowledge what's going on and then to appreciate that we're doing our best. You know, I've often found that we will assume that if we're taking things personally, that something is wrong, but there's never anything wrong. All we're doing is getting some contrast that we're looking for things to be different. We're looking for another option of response. I've often been told, oftentimes children or young adults are told, that they need to toughen up in some scenarios. And, you know, people do their best, but if you look at the heart of what's going on here, qualities such as gentleness, kindness, consideration, you know, these are wonderful qualities and we would never want to switch them off. And maybe in truth, we can't because it's part of our DNA. And what's the opposite anyway? Lack of caring, you know, complacency, being somewhat cold. And that's not a place we want to go to. So this tip is all about showing some compassion towards ourselves, acknowledging that we're doing our best, that life is giving me some contrast, that maybe I can focus for a moment on one or two things in this situation that we can be grateful for. Maybe I can listen to others from a place of curiosity as opposed to judgment. And as I say, if nothing else, there's always an opportunity for learning. Before I share the next tip with you, just another quick pause to thank you for tuning in and for your ongoing support. As I say, this is episode 20, and I'm delighted that I've reached this milestone and that I'm sort of into the routine of doing these weekly episodes now. And I have to say, I'm enjoying them myself. Of course, a lot more information about me, James Sweetman, is available on my website, jamessweetman.com, and of course, across all the social media channels. And there's also that blog that sits on my website as well, which contains there's a large library there of articles on a range of business and personal development topics. So tip number five on how to detach or how not to take things too personally is all about perspective. You know, we tend to spend a lot of time in our heads wondering or worrying about what other people are thinking about us. But if everyone is doing that, other people don't have the time or the inclination to be thinking about you. And let's remember as well that other people's opinions are other people's opinions. You know, other people's opinions of you are their opinion. There is that old phrase of do your best and forget the rest, which is sort of true too. I'm also reminded of the 20-40-60 rule, a somewhat humorous rule I came across a little while back, where at 20, maybe we're all worried about what other people are thinking about us. At 40, maybe we don't care quite as much about what other people are thinking about us. And maybe at 60, we realize that people weren't thinking about us anyway. So as I say, we spend a lot of time in our heads wondering what other people are thinking about us. Whereas if everyone is doing that, they have little time to be thinking about you. So sometimes when we find ourselves in a scenario where we do have the tendency to take things personally and to place the worst meaning on certain pieces of evidence or circumstances, maybe just widening our perspective a little gives us a little bit of wiggle room, allows us to lighten the emotion. The sixth tip is about acknowledging our intention. You know, we're all responsible for the energy we bring into a room or the energy we bring into a situation. So it's always useful, particularly with those scenarios that we can find stressful, to be very clear and conscious and purposeful as to what our intention is. You know, intention is what's at the forefront of my mind. How do I want to show up? What do I want to achieve here? We can acknowledge then that irrespective of the outcome, we have tried our best. I would have used the analogy before of sort of two hands joining to symbolize any personal interaction or relationship. So if you think of two hands as two people, you and someone else, and in every relationship, working or personal, we are only responsible for 50% of the relating. But we are 100% responsible for our 50%, and wrapped up in what we're responsible for is our intention. You know, what am I bringing into this interaction? And I'm also then responsible too for my responses to the uncontrollable. And that brings us into the territory of controlling the controllables. So we cannot control other people. We can only control how we respond to them. But in this scenario where we're looking at tips for not taking things too personally or for detaching, one of the things to be clear of is what was my intention going in here in the first place? Was it conscious? Was it noble? Was it positive? Because if it wasn't, well, then maybe I've got a little bit of homework to do for next time. I have a little bit of tidying up to do. The final tip is a little bit tongue-in-cheek, let's say. But sometimes in some scenarios, all we can do is maybe just laugh and walk away. I'm a great believer in taking what we do seriously, you know, taking our work seriously. But certainly I try not to take myself too seriously. And in some situations, I sort of say to myself, James, lighten up a little. This is not that important. there are other scenarios where maybe all we can do is extract ourselves from that situation, either as a form of self-preservation or well-being, you know, to step away from a situation, to chalk it up to experience, and then to go off and to practice some self-care. You know, sometimes that's all we can do. So before I share some final thoughts with you, a quick recap on the tips for detaching, or the way of overcoming taking things too personally, that tendency that we all have. Tip number one was that conscious breathing, to breathe just a little bit more purposefully as a form of relaxing, as a way of resourcing ourselves, and maybe just giving ourselves a little bit of time to think. Tip two was ask a better question rather than some of those why ones where we're trying to figure out other people's behavior. Maybe questions that start with how or what, that's more aligned with what it is I want and how I want to show up. Then there was the piece around, you know, examining that relationship between our expectations and reality, knowing that we can only deal with reality. And if we argue with reality, we will lose. Then it's like, don't beat ourselves up too much. You know, acknowledge and appreciate that we're doing our best and maybe there's a learning opportunity in it. Of course, we're also looking at finding a different perspective on it. Most of the time, we'll spend a lot of time inside other people's heads thinking about what they're thinking about us. Remember that old 20, 40, 60 rule. Then there was those two final tips about acknowledging our intention. So I'm bringing something that's conscious and positive into the interaction in the first place, and then maybe practicing a little bit of self-care, you know, either shrugging our shoulders, laughing at ourselves, laughing at the situation, or just walking away as a form of self-protection or self-care. So hopefully you found those tips of benefit. I often think that as social beings, you know, too often our emotional state will be determined by what we witness going on around us. You know, we'll be influenced by other people's attitudes and behavior. That's part of being human. Oftentimes in this scenario, though, we could describe ourselves there as thermometers, you know, just responding to the temperature that's in a room. I often think what we're trying to get to is a place where we're more of a thermostat, you know, where we're the one setting the temperature of the room. We're aware of the mood and the energy that we're bringing into a scenario. As I often say in workshops, you know, most people operate from a place where we're seeking others to change or adjust their attitude or behavior so that we can feel better. But unfortunately, that is a definition of disempowerment. And maybe the tips I'm sharing with you today are a way to also boost empowerment when you think about it. But of course, we can only learn how to empower ourselves when we've acknowledged where we've given our power away. Detaching, maybe even feeling good, of course, is an inside job. We know it's no one else's job to make us feel happy. You know, we start by making the decision to take ownership of our emotions and to practice maybe hauling ourselves up that emotional scales from a negative place to a more positive place. And some of those tips, like taking a deeper breath or reaching for a better thought, asking a better question, they change our focus. And by changing our focus, then we change our feeling. So hopefully you found those tips in this week's episode of benefit. As ever, I'm James Sweetman. Thank you for tuning in, and until next week.